Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to our new time. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. My name is Glenn Greenwich, and I'm coming to you from New York City. And we're going to have our honored guest today is going to be Mr. Donald Parker from New Orleans, as they say, back in the city. But before we get started, we normally start off our show with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent. Losing myself there. For those of African descent, is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. October 24th, 2014. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And that's what I get for doing the summit off of memory. Huh? Anyway, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. So the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide participants with the opportunity to really bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. So we're looking to support you in your vision and what you see for yourself and the black community. And we also have the Black Youth Summit and the Black Young Adult Summit. So those are all spaces that place at the same time at the annual event. So we have the Youth Summit is from 8 to 17. The Young Adult Space is from 18 to 35. And then we have the Adult Space, which is up to infinity. So you can be as young or old as you'd like. You do have to be at least 18. Anyway, so that's what's happening this year. It's going to be the 25th anniversary of the International Black Summit. So it's going to be a special time. It's going to be in Atlanta in 2015. And we're started. We're going to be back in Atlanta to celebrate our 25th anniversary. So looking forward for your participation there and see what you're up to. Welcome to the show, Henrietta Bird.
Hey, thank you, thank you. I'm in beautiful, beautiful, beautiful New Orleans, Louisiana.
All right, New Orleans.
New Orleans. Yeah, in New Orleans and in the facilitator body training at the same time. And it's just, it's just a beautiful day here. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we've got two listeners on. Now, one is a blast from the past, then we've got a 985 number. I'm not sure if that's Donald or not.
I think it is. And Chakasha's here.
Okay. All right.
Hello.
Well,
you see how I'm pulling everybody to New Orleans.
Okay. All right. Make it happen.
You know, she
right
always,
here. Make it happen. Make it happen.
Right. She always has a plan in place.
Yeah.
So
listen, if you don't have a plan, you're in somebody else's plan. Hello.
That's right. That's right.
I was in the 90 day.
I know. Sure enough. You know what time it is.
Okay. Okay, we got to tell the listeners about the 90-day one day soon, too.
We'll have my co-creator on that.
Okay.
Bring Byron in one day, and we'll have him, and we'll go through that conversation for sure. But right now, let me bring to the phone Mr. Donald Parker. Now, who Mr. Parker is for me is somebody who is certainly a New Orleans aficionado, okay? He knows the food. He knows the culture. He knows the music. He's grown up in the fiber of it. And Donald is just a delightful person to talk to. I mean, just really will give you the shirt off his back. So, I mean, that's who he is. And we're going to invite him to the show, actually open up his mic to really let us know some of the insights and some of the things that are going on in New Orleans. So welcome to the show, Donald.
Okay, can y'all hear me?
Sure can.
You can? Okay. I didn't know how this worked. I thought I had to press a button or something.
No. We got you. It's all control over here.
Okay, good. Well, I'm doing great. And as Henrietta said, it's a beautiful, beautiful day here. Matter of fact, it's been like that for a couple of weeks. So, you know, we're all feeling blessed, even though the Saints lost a good one to Detroit last weekend. But we're going to recover this coming Sunday, I hope. I keep up with the summit on Facebook. And so, Glenn, I'm always aware of what you're up to, and Conrad and Henrietta, and is John Thomas Henrietta? John. Is Henrietta still there?
Yes. No, Chakasha.
Chakasha. Do you know him?
Yes.
Yeah, he was the guy who I participated on the virtual IBS summit a few years ago, and he was the moderator. The name just came to me.
What's his name?
Yeah.
John Thomas. Oh, yeah. He's in the meeting virtually.
Oh, he's in the meeting now?
Right.
Yep.
But he's on virtual.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, he's the one who conducted the virtual IBS with that I participated a few years back. I don't remember the year. Who I am now, I'm actually retired from teaching. I'm actually do volunteer work with an organization called the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, and I've been doing this for a little over 2 years. And let's see. I participated in the first 5 summits, and I missed the last 19. So hopefully, I can stay in touch with y'all over the next you're going to have 2 more meetings before the next summit, I imagine, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So maybe I can probably stay in touch and be able to make the next summit. And where is it going to be?
In Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, back where it started from.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, that was an amazing, amazing, life-changing event for me. I don't know if any of y'all were there, but
I was there.
Yeah, okay. I can't remember all that. And I know a lot of the members, not a lot, some of the members who were there have passed on and have transitioned. And however, I do recall the thing where we set up the walls after we created who black people were. Remember that, Glenn?
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah. And we created that conversation of who we had made up that black people were. And we were all entrenched on our interpretation of who we were. And, my God, that was a struggle. And I remember it was Randolph and Perry. What's his first name? Austin's dad.
Anthony Randolph.
Anthony.
And Perry Park. And,
right. Catherine was
Robin.
There, and Robin Randolph.
And Robin. Yes.
And they masterfully handled all of the conversation, even though they got hooked from time to time. And also, J.K.
J. Kenneth.
Yeah, J. Kenneth was there, and they masterfully handled those conversations, though everybody got hooked every so often because they had their own interpretation of who we were. But then the big transformation came when we actually owned that we made all of that up.
Yeah.
We made all of that up, and that the possibility that it didn't mean anything. I'm not going to say that we were totally clear because we were not totally clear. We still, even though we realized we made it up, I think, I know myself, I really believe my little contribution really still meant something. But the thing is, that's what out of that is what the declaration came from, is that we could declare something totally unexpected and create a new possibility for who we were. And that became awesome because for me the experience came of the walls came tumbling down. That was my experience. I still remember that, just going in through my head, and the walls came tumbling down because we had everybody in that room from practically every perspective of the black community. From I'm almost sure I can almost picture a name. We had some probably black conservatives there, ministers there from the movement and things, all the way to black Muslims and the Republic of New Africa. Mm-hmm. And we had all of those conversations there. And once we acknowledged those conversations and realized that we and owned them, that, you know, we're the cause of those, then we, it took a while, but we actually got able to be able to talk to see that we could recreate and create other conversations about who black people were for us. And that's, I think that's what the, that's where the declaration came out of that.
Sure,
and the wording of it was very interesting. I think Lenore and a few other people put in some words there that really helped us. And then the thing is we created that thing called alignment. Remember?
Oh!
African, they call it African democracy, where we had all those conversations and we had all those diverse views, and then we aligned on something all 100%. And that was, like I said, that was the experience. I said the walls came tumbling down because, I mean, there were no more barriers between us. We were free now to generate whoever we wanted to be and whoever we wanted the black community to be, and actually the world too. So, all right, that's reminiscent, that conversation 25 years ago. How vivid is it in my mind, though? So,
well, I want to add just a couple of things. And so the, even though that we had cleared ourselves, as you said, and were in the thick of it, we still left that first summit not being clear what to call ourselves. So we actually left that summit calling ourselves the International Blank Summit.
Right,
we
I recall.
We couldn't call ourselves because there was such diversity inside of the mix of who we were that we hadn't come to an agreement on a name. But we did agree and did align on the declaration, which is what we're still saying today. So that was
right. And you were on that editing committee, as I recall now.
Just a little bit. I went back to the room. It was actually a Luba Day from New York.
Okay.
Was the mainstay, and he chartered and worked it with three or four other individuals way into the wee hours of Saturday night.
All right.
Come up with that for Sunday. And as I recall, I think we changed one or two words on Sunday, and that was it. And then we all accepted it. All 120 of us.
Right, that's right. And while they were working, I think we retired into a piano lounge up there. And this guy, last name Davis, he played the piano, and we sang, and we celebrated. Well, I mean, while the work was getting done with that committee, about four or five people, and that was the first summit. So
and we always, and that was the thing, we always celebrated. There was always a celebration of who we were, of our spirit, and of our Africanism.
Yeah, well, and really the experience was something, because this was in the Marriott Marquis Hotel, and that piano lounge was like floating in the air. I don't know whether you remember that, because you had to climb up some stairs, and it was a bar up there, and that piano, and it was floating like on in between different levels. And my God, I don't know whether that was actually true or whether that was one of the drinks that I may have taken.
That's
that gave me that experience.
That's what I was getting ready to ask. Okay. Can I ask something right here?
Sure.
Could you say a little bit more about alignment and how it was created?
I had never experienced anything like that before. I never had experienced anything like that before, you know, because we always went for majority rules and things like that, and that
mm-hmm.
was what I was used to in life for whatever 40-some years. So, I mean, even while we were discussing it, I was negotiating with other people to what I call the alignment was to get enough votes to dominate.
Mm-hmm.
I Catherine had a big role to play in that first summit, Catherine Young. You recall, Glenn?
Yeah.
Because I think she was actually able to catch, and Robin and all the facilitators, they were brilliant, because they could all call us when we were in our, what do you call it, act, or we were when we were on it about something. And they could actually call us, and it created a sense of, for me, humility, in which I could allow other people to create who I'm being, and that actually freed me up to realize I did not have to perform an act to be myself, that I could just be myself and be accepted with all of who I was and my ideas and my thoughts and things like that, and that we could align to create something greater than what we had come in that room with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you, what you just did, Donald, you just distinguished what the International Black Summit is about.
Yeah, I know.
You just brought it home. You know, that's what the International Black Summit conversation is about. It's about facilitation. It's about brilliant facilitation.
Yes, really.
You know, it's about the facilitators listening to the degree that they can call you on, like that they know when you're BSing. You
right.
know, they know it. It's not like they're just creating that. It is that they know it, and the reason that they know it is because it's them.
Yeah.
And then when they look at you, the participant, they're looking at themselves. So they know, you know, we know when we're BSing, so we can see it, you
yeah.
know. And
yeah.
But you just really, really, God, I'm so excited about this. The International Black Summit is exciting to me because of what you just said. You know, because of the fact is, you know, you can't come into this conversation pretending.
Yes.
You know, you cannot.
I make the next one, I'm going to do that. But the thing is I trust that people are going to call me on it and clear me.
I mean, really,
because when I
yes.
walked into Carolyn's house and started that conversation with y'all, you know, I have to... You know, acknowledge that if I get in my act or something, that
uh-huh.
somebody's going to call me on it. So even
right.
though I've been apart from it for 19 years, anytime I get a chance to engage with people from the summit and all of the landmark work I do, simply because it's a space in which, and what I told Carolyn yesterday was with you is. I don't know. It's a thing of a distinction that facilitators and people, members of the work have called listening. And the thing was is that I didn't even know you were going to be at Carolyn's.
Okay.
But the space of listening was there, and I got my life handled there.
Okay.
And because... And, you know, I'm looking back on it, I didn't know any of that was going to happen. But
mm-hmm.
I got freed up because there were things that I had been hiding and not dealing with and hadn't
uh-huh.
spoken about. And I got it set yesterday. And I think I felt happy, I felt excited. And I was wondering what in the hell happened for me to change like this because, I mean... Fixing a pot of gumbo is one thing, but getting issues in your life handled and things like that, that was totally unexpected. So when I went with Carolyn to pick up her granddaughter, I said, Carolyn, you know, Henrietta, it's just awesome because she's the space for listening. And I don't know what that is in life, in things there, but it's a presence of listening. And you know, that's a gift. My God, just imagine if that was multiplied a million times that in the world, people that provided that space of listening, of all the, excuse the words, I hope this is not, all the shit that could get handled on Earth.
Yeah.
Without the violence and the upset and the illnesses and everything else. So, acknowledgement to you, Henry.
Thank you. We are, you know, we're in it. We're anytime you head in the direction of a meeting or a prerequisite or a summer share, you're in it. You know, you're in that conversation. So stay with us, Donald.
Right.
You know, like be with us this year. Call into the talk show. We're here every Friday, and your stuff
oh,
can
I didn't
get
know
handled.
That.
Yeah,
every Friday.
Every Friday this time at 12:30 your time.
Okay.
12:30 Central time.
All right.
And
awesome.
And this
I'm gonna use it.
Yeah.
I,
you know,
gotta,
that's why we're okay. here.
I've got a question, Donald.
Yes.
Now, the work that you've been able to do inside of the International Black Summit, now, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but how was that work able to allow you to be post-Katrina?
Oh.
Oh.
Well, actually, I'm going to tell you, I started off very well after Katrina because I was one of the first teachers involved in opening the first high school in New Orleans after Katrina on December 6, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to clear myself about all the conversations about what disaster was and create the whole idea of creating from nothing. Okay.
Okay.
And so that's what I took in, and I taught 3 years in a charter school. And it was a beautiful thing because I actually wrote a newspaper article that got published nationally because we were so excited with any little success that we had. We had some kids that won some scholarships and things like that, and just like the whole community, which is celebrating on any little thing. When someone finally got a grant or something like that to rebuild or something to renovate or to someone move back into the city, every little thing we started celebrating because it was like a sign that we were still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, you know, there was hope. But let me tell you this, too. This is, I don't know if it's a breakdown or whatever. I went to a clearing session put on by Landmark for us, the survivals. Well, and I'm going to tell you, we had a little town, and maybe we can come back on this later. But you know what got presents to me at that clearing was the real tragedy of Katrina was before Katrina.
Mm. Yeah.
We really got present that the city was, I'm going to use these words, none of them fits this, but there was a dysfunctionality, tragedy going on in New Orleans well before Katrina, and all Katrina did was let us see it. And I was caught into that because as teaching, we were still trying to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
Over a lot of stuff that was going on that we didn't even face. The low paying employment, that was the big thing. We just found out that there was just a mass underclass in New Orleans,
mm-hmm,
that had been,
yep,
existing for decades, and that none of us was acknowledging that reality. And that's, we had a case of extreme poverty, people being trapped in poverty for 3 years. And we were all working on getting better, but we needed a tragedy, a giant storm, to wake us up to see what was wrong with our city. So, that's a little bit on that. Books and things like that are still going to be written about that, have already been written, and stories been written.
Well, I think that one of the things that we'll like to do is explore that a little bit more and invite you back. Because
sure.
I would actually suggest that it's been generations of underprivileged
and
underclass and mm-hmm, that existed when you think about it. But let me
just leave this with you too. This has just occurred in the last year or two, and Cory Booker actually opened my eyes to this, and I've been thinking and trying to implement this type of distinction. in teaching all those years, we always prepare kids to get better, get more education, get this, to get better. And better meant good jobs, good paying jobs, and all of that. And I've spent 30, 40 years teaching, thinking I would be successful when my kids could make more money.
Mm-hmm.
And what Cory Booker had me realize over this last year, and like I say, I've been trying to implement this distinction, he says poverty is not more wealth. That's quote.
Yeah.
Poverty is not more wealth. Poverty is more justice. The end of poverty. The opposite of poverty is not more wealth. The opposite of poverty is justice.
Gotcha.
And my God, I mean, if I had that kind of thinking 30 years ago when I started teaching, my whole it's nothing. Not that what I was doing was wrong, but that my whole approach to teaching and education would have changed.
Well, yeah. I'm going to suggest that you are now opened up to a whole new insight.
Insight
got revealed to you, and now you see an additional possibility. So it's nothing wrong, nothing that you did wrong. You just got presented a new possibility and see the possibility of that possibility.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Donald, please come back again and be with us. We'll be celebrating. You know, we started the countdown to Atlanta already, and we will be here every Friday, 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Friday.
And on Fridays, right.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we really, really appreciate your contribution. And please, like I said, come back again so we can continue from where we are. Glenn, did we have anybody else, any other callers?
Jerry, your mic is open. Go ahead.
I just want to say it's a blessing to hear from all y'all. And it's
baby.
Is it Jerry Thomas?
Yeah.
He's another person I hear about.
Yeah,
I love
Jerry,
Facebook. I don't care what anybody knocks social media.
Okay.
Yeah, MVP in the flesh.
I don't know whether I ever met you, but I stay in touch with you on Facebook all the time.
Yes. That was during the time, my brother, I was trying to invite him when I was doing the summer shares that Henrietta and Glenn helped me, you know, just got me doing when I was on a talk show. You know, that's how I was inviting you of the summer shares, and we was talking about, you know, of certain issues in 1980 as a global, and plus I was trying to invite you to the show, so, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, me.
Yes.
Hey, Jerry, we love you so much. So good to hear from
you. Love you too. But, Donald, I'm going to keep in contact with you because I want to talk more about New Orleans, because I have a show, the MVP Thinking for Ourselves. And I want to invite you because there's a lot of people out there, especially Virginia, because when I first talked to you, I was in New York, and I'm in Virginia right now. They do not have a clue what's going on in New Orleans. A lot of things has happened, especially downtown and educational and for our people. So Glenn, I would like, you know, to be a participant in that. The next time you come too. But I want to talk to you more about that because it's very important that we got to keep on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of things, new development. And what I'll do is invite other summit participants from New Orleans to come on.
Great. Yeah,
because,
are you in touch with Mr. Nunu?
Who?
Yeah. Newman?
I didn't hear. They're static on the line, so.
Newman, Mr. Newman.
Newman.
You know, his family had the first kindergarten for black people.
Oh, yeah. No, I know him. Well, I knew him and his wife before Katrina, but I know him through Shikasha, because Shakesha had been working with him.
Right.
The my God, I could tell you, but did he participate in the summit?
He was on the radio with us for probably a year or so.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Yeah, well, there are a number of other people that that I want to invite if y'all want to have the discussion on New Orleans.
Yeah,
we would
love it.
And they're summit participants, so yeah, I will invite more people because well, that's it. I'll invite more people, and I may not be on every Friday, but I definitely will be a regular participant. Because it provides a real space that's been very empowering for me.
Yeah, but I want to say one thing before you get off. As for me, has been a very moving experience for me personally. You know, to hear everybody that I was with that helped groom me as a leader now. And I want to appreciate that. And Donald, I want to let you know that I always acknowledge you, my brother, and keep on the fight and let the world know that we are part of God's family as Africans. And
this
work we do is God's work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Wow. Okay. Thank you. That's God's work.
And that's what I tell people all the time in Virginia, because I've been reading decoration a lot. But I'd be finding out, I'm no certain distinction, and I'm talking to people. And I tell people, this is hard work, but it's a loving work. And I said, if you give me a chance, I have people that love you. And then when you do this work, it's rewarded. And so now for me, I'm evolving again. I got the MVP swag back. And you know, when I get my MVP swag back, you cannot run from me. But you know what? That's how it is. You know, because you know why, Donald? You know, Glenn, Harriet, Shakesha, Jill, they give me a chance. I come from the hood. You hear what I'm saying?
I know
what this work has done for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's the thing. Here's the real. Here's the stank, naked truth. You gave yourself a chance, Jerry.
Yeah,
you gave yourself a chance. And in your giving yourself a chance, we just showed up to support you.
Mm.
And that's the provision of the International Black Summit. It provides an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world.
Yeah.
So it was your vision.
And that to bring that space from the summit into where we live is a real gift from God.
Yes, it is.
So,
Thank you all so much.
This
is a beautiful thing. Well, folks, we are out of time. Thank you for indulging us. We love you. Please
love y'all too. Love you, Glenn. Love you, Henrietta. Love you, Jerry. Who else is there?
Love you too.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Have a great day.
Till we talk. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.